Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM. Wonderful to be with you. I do hope that you're well and enjoying your day so far. We're going to be dipping our toes into the glorious, beautiful ocean. Well, maybe not realistically, but certainly with our guest, Varushka DeVita, who will be joining us a little bit later and sharing her ideas and her inspiration behind writing her book, Deep Blue, Why We Love the Sea. So if you're one of those who are sort of interested in cold plunging, swimming, breath holding, the benefits of it, or if you just simply love to sit on the beach and watch the ocean, the tides, lose yourself, lose thought and be connected with the moment, or perhaps just having a gorgeous swim, well, maybe you will be called to listen to my conversation with Varushka DeVita. Really, really beautiful book we're going to be chatting about. And our first guest, Tanil, will be joining us. Tanil Stead, who's a cancer warrior, she's going to be joining us and sharing her story. And, you know, there are always so many beautiful moments, and we see people, human beings, rising to occasion, and we always like to talk about one little thing can shift an experience for a human being, and that's what Tanil will be sharing with us. But before we go there, I wanted to just make you aware of, you know, always lots of things happening at the DL Link, because runners and riders, or perhaps both, right? Doesn't just have to be for a runner or a rider. And of course, all of you, the incredible DL Link supporters, something really big is coming. We're very excited about it because for the first time ever, we're going to be heading to the Cape Town Marathon. And it's on its journey to becoming one of the majors. So it's a new city, a new race, same powerful purpose. So whether you've pounded the pavement with us before or you're ready for your first big challenge, this perhaps is your moment. So just join Team DL Link. Help us make it huge, loud, proud, deeply meaningful, and mark your calendars. So for the riders, Ride Joburg is coming up on October the 26th. Now, it seems like a long time away, but it's not. It's literally around the corner. So this is one mission. It's two cities, and it's happening on Sundays, both Sundays. So let's run, let's ride, let's make it count. So why don't you email the DL Link to find out more? That's events@dllink.co.za. That is events@dllink.co.za. Always something exciting coming up. Speaking of which, our first guest, Tanil Stead. Tanil, welcome. Thank you for joining us and great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Listen, did I pronounce your name correctly?
Almost. It's Tanil.
Tanil.
Yes. Oh.
Beautiful name. Tanil, welcome. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
So what a journey you have been on since March this year. Who would have thought your yearly or bi, whatever, however often you go, mammogram would bring such a challenging journey, I'm sure. Let's go back. March. So you went for a mammogram, and then by the 17th of March, you were diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer.
Yes. So I'm 43, so you should be start doing your mammograms sort of from 40-ish. So just to put it out there that please go and do it. Do not put it off. And I think even go if you're a bit between 35 and 40, because the cases are just on the rise all the time. So I was naughty and I hadn't gone for one yet. So it was my first mammogram. And I went, and they found obviously some suspicious lumps, which they can't always tell just from the mammogram. So then they send you for a sonar. And then from there, if they feel that it's maybe a little bit worse than just a cyst, because there are all sorts of different things that it could be, they did a biopsy. So they did a biopsy on three of them. which came back positive.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Tennille. I mean, you hadn't been and then you went. Was it because you felt something?
So
Had you felt?
I did feel a lump a couple of months prior to me going, but I don't know. I just thought that maybe it was something to do with, hormones or my
Yeah.
age, or you don't really think, you always think it's never going to happen to me. So it really didn't bother me too much. And then it sort of felt like it went away. So I left it. And then my husband said to me, no, like he also feels like, it's time. I must just go and have it checked. So I'm very thankful that I did, because it is quite an aggressive estrogen-based cancer. So I think if I'd left it for longer, I could have been in some trouble, well, more
Yeah.
trouble than what I am.
Wow. So what a shock to be told at that point, stage two, and then you went straight away for a double mastectomy.
Yeah, so there's different treatments that they look at. So I think because mine was, if you just have one or two, they can look at doing a lumpectomy, or they'll look at doing chemo first to shrink the tumor and then look at doing a lumpectomy. But because mine was multiple, the only option was a mastectomy, and I opted for a double, because it could easily spread to the other breast at a later stage. So they did that first just to get it out. Because shrinking it first was, I mean, there's no point in that. So they did that, and then followed by chemo.
And I mean, 13, you had 13 lymph nodes tested,
Removed, yeah. So what
removed.
they do in the while they're doing the double mastectomy, they remove a couple of lymph nodes, and they then send that for testing to see if it's spread anywhere from the breast. So I am lucky that it only went into the lymph nodes and it didn't go any further. But yes, so they took out 13 and 12 of them were positive. So that
Sure.
moved me into stage three.
Yeah. And I mean, stage three then means, quite aggressive treatment in terms of, as you
Yes.
say, chemo, this red devil. I mean, that it's called the red devil and
Yeah,
just
it definitely lives up to its name. And please, I
how.
apologize if I get emotional, but I do feel a little bit of emotion coming in.
Tennille, it's such a, it is such a, I mean, I'm saying this, it is an emotional time, an overwhelming time. And we have people who come on and you're speaking so publicly. And there are people who are listening right now who on the same journey. There are people
Yeah.
who are on similar journeys. And we kind of hold the space of being able to share the emotion, share the difficulties and challenges, and share the celebrations and the joy points, which is what we're going to get to shortly.
Yes.
But
No, it
yes,
is. It's so
revisiting it.
important to share your story and, just
Absolutely.
give people some hope. And I mean, I'm very positive generally. Obviously you have your moments, but I'm just grateful that we caught it when we did. And I'm grateful that, we've gone at it pretty hard, and I'm very, very, very positive that it will be a good ending or outcome, should I say.
Absolutely. And wouldn't it be wonderful if once you go into remission, we revisit this conversation and look at
Yes.
how far you've come and this becomes one of those experiences that shift your life. You didn't ask for it, but you get exposed to the challenge and you rise. So often that's the story. So we look forward
Yes.
to that. We look forward to that, Tennille. But
Yes, definitely.
we know with this red devil, we know that the hair loss, besides terrible nausea and not feeling well, hair loss. And it's one thing to talk about losing one's hair, but that's something you think about when it actually starts to happen. It must be such a difficult thing to come to terms with. Did you have long hair before, or was it short? What was your hair like?
So it was probably just sort of like a bob, but
Yeah.
not like almost at my shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very hard. I remember the day that it started. I actually ran into my daughter's room. She's 19, and I just started crying. I was like bawling my eyes out, and she was like,
Yeah.
"What's going on?" So yeah, it's you know it's going to happen, and you try and prepare for it as much as you can. But you know, you're a woman, and it's the same as having the double mastectomy. It's part of you being a woman. But yes, it was very hard when it started.
Yeah, but as you know, when I started off and I spoke to you, so often on the show, there are extraordinary people who just seem to pop out of nowhere, who make such a difference. And that's why that's why, you know, we love to share these stories, because the calling is always there. Like, are you going to be an extraordinary person in your lifetime who can
Yes.
just do small little things to make a difference? And you had that experience
I did.
when you went and shaved off your hair. Please share this extraordinary story.
So it was a very last-minute.com decision. So I'd cut my hair short just to make the process a little bit easier. And I was driving home from work and I was chatting to my husband and I said to him, please just meet me at the barber that he goes to at Leaping Frog Center, which is in Fourways. And I said, I think I'm ready. I just want to shave it off because it's just going to make it a lot easier because it was happening, you know, the hair falling was becoming more and more. So he met me there and my daughter was with me and we went inside and I sat down and obviously the tears were rolling and streaming down and it was just quite a obviously a very emotional time for me. And the gentleman started shaving my hair and he looked at me and he said, why are you crying? So I said, well, I'm just, you know, I'm feeling quite overwhelmed and it's quite a big thing for me. And he took the clipper and he started shaving his own hair. And well, first he just went sort of through the middle of his head and he said, look, it's just hair.
What, like
And
a shaved path in the middle?
yes. And he had quite a lot of thick hair. And I looked at him and I just started laughing. And he said, no, I can see you've got a beautiful soul and you mustn't be sad and you're going to get through this. And when I looked again, the other two guys that were in the barber started doing the same and they all shaved all their hair off. And we just started laughing hysterically. And it just turned something that would have made me probably cry uncontrollably. I was laughing uncontrollably. And it was just such an amazing gesture and a happy moment. And they were just so, so lovely and so supportive and genuine. And it was just such a small, small thing, but it was incredible.
Yeah, small but so huge, so
So
huge. As
huge,
you
yeah.
say, you know, to turn something like that into a happy moment, to smile and have your heart smiling as well when you go back to that moment is phenomenal. It's just incredible, Tennille. So we're always reminded that, you know, we can live in a world where we're in our bubble, or it's stressful, or there are things going on, but actually, it's a pretty amazing world with beautiful people. And I
It
suppose you
really
would
is.
never have had that experience, right? If you hadn't had to go down that particular path.
No, and it really just it lifts your spirits, it gives you hope for humanity. It's just it was such a small thing, but it really just meant the world to me and my family. We were all there.
Oh, just amazing. So when you looked at yourself and you thought, okay, this is it. You know, I heard you're still working. So what was it like to go back to work now? You know, did you want to cover your hair? Did you think, no, this is me? How did people respond? How's that journey been for you?
So I did cover. I haven't quite got to that point yet where I could go out. So at home, I will walk around with nothing on my head. But I do, if I go out, I'll wear a scarf or I'll wear a beanie or something like that. But I mean, everyone has been amazing. My work has been so supportive. Everyone's just, no one's ever made me feel like a freak, should I say, or like that I'm different or that I don't fit in. Everyone's just been incredible. So it really has been quite a humbling couple of months, I must say.
Yeah, amazing. You know, and you say freak and different, and you again, you realize that there's nothing freakish or different. You know,
No.
everyone's on a journey, everyone has their thing, and you get to see the understanding and the beautiful parts of human nature. That's some of the things you get
Absolutely.
to experience. Yeah, Tennille, so you'll go back when once your hair's grown.
Yes,
and
definitely.
they'll get to grow their hair back as well. So where did you say this wonderful shop is in the Frog? Where
So
Leaping Frog?
it's in at the Leaping Frog Shopping Centre, which is on just the corner of William Nicol. So it's in Fourways, close just behind Lone Hill.
Okay, and what's the guy's name who owns it?
Mohammed.
Fantastic. So if anyone goes past and they see a bald Mohammed, they know why.
Yes,
Beautiful, Tennille. So next week is your last treatment, Red Devil, the
the
last
Red
one.
Devil. Yes.
And how are you
So
feeling about that?
I'm very excited to have that part of the treatment behind me because it's just horrible. It really lives up to its name. So, but it's at least I know it's doing its thing and it's fighting what it needs to fight. So that's kind of what you need to focus on. But yes, so it's my last one. I have four of those, and then I move on to a less aggressive 12-week chemo treatment plan, which is apparently much easier to deal with. So
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to having this bit behind me, and then, it's another box to tick and another step forward to just being healthy again.
Yeah. Listen, it's a thing because after that, you've then got
Great.
radiotherapy as
Yes.
well, and then the hair returns, and then
Yes.
yeah, life in a different sort of exciting way
Yes,
starts to
exactly.
make
So
its
you just
way.
need to hold on to that, and it's just a couple of months, and you'll be, yeah, my hair will grow back.
Keep
I'll
fighting.
be healthy. Hopefully my story can help some people that are feeling like they're in the dark or feeling like they don't belong or just feeling sad. It's hopefully it can help some people.
Yeah. But you've been able to work throughout this Red Devil chemo.
I have, but my company has been amazing. And they haven't put lots of pressure on me. So a lot of my work I've been doing, so I'm in sales, which is quite difficult because you've got to be on the road and seeing clients. But yeah, they've been very supportive. My clients have been amazing. So WhatsApp and email and phone calls has been a great tool to have to just keep the relationships going. And so yeah, they've all been really supportive.
Fantastic. Tennille, it's been, as I said, it's a whirlwind. I mean, we're in July. It's been a whirlwind. Your life turned upside down
Yes.
since March. And your family, your daughter, your partner, how are you all coping? And I mean, are there things that you've extracted, or are you still very much in the moment?
So, I mean, my family has been incredible. My husband, my stepkids, my daughter. Yeah, they've just every single one of them has been incredible. Julia, my stepdaughter, lives with us, and my daughter Tatum, and they have looked after me. They've been the best nurses ever. And my husband has been my rock. So, yeah, they have just been absolutely incredible. I think I don't know, it's so hard. It almost, in some ways, it's starting to feel more real now, but it almost feels like it's happening to someone else. It almost doesn't feel like it's happening to me. So the whole going through the mastectomy and starting the chemo, it almost felt like it wasn't me that was going through it. But that has changed, and I have embraced that now. And you just take it day by day. You try not to think too much into the future or what's going to happen or how you're going to feel after this. You just kind of get through today, face tomorrow, get through the next day, and that's just the best way to handle it.
Yeah, it's all you can do.
Yeah.
Small steps, little chunks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Tennille, you sound amazing, and you sound like you
Thank
have, and
you.
which we know is so important on the healing journey to have a group of people who love and support you and hold you during this time. And
Absolutely.
yeah, and thank you so much for sharing your story of the three barbers. I just love the idea that there are the
Yeah,
three
no,
bald barbers somewhere in four ways.
it's
I'm
really
imagining what their families did when they walked through the front door with their bald
with their
heads.
shaved heads. Yes, you asked
Yeah,
what their day was like at work. No,
exactly.
they were
Exactly.
great.
Like the whole story, all the clients arriving the next day.
Yes.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful story. It's a heartwarming story. And really, on behalf of us all, we just wish you good health and healing and back to your vitality. And yeah, we look forward to hearing all the good stories once you are on the
Yes.
other side of the journey, once you've arrived on that other side. So
Yes,
thanks,
can't
Tennille. So
wait.
lovely having you on the show.
Thank you so much, Nikki. It was great. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. God bless.
Okay, you too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Tennille Stead, a cancer warrior, and wow, what a journey since that mammogram in March. And here we are in July. She's still got one more treatment, the Red Devil, then more chemo at the end of August, and then some radiotherapy. And yeah. And you listening, perhaps you're on a very similar journey. Perhaps you know someone who is. Perhaps your journey is very different to this, but you certainly understand the challenge. I do hope that from that story, imagining the three barbers who all shaved their hair on that day when Tennille shaved hers, and just how pretty extraordinary that is. That's what we have to hold on to.